In the name of the one holy and undivided Trinity, amen. It is such a joy to be here on this great day of celebration. Most of you don't know me, but I almost feel as if I know you because I've been joining you in worship on YouTube for several weeks. And so I'm able to tell you that in her Easter sermon, Lori said, being a resurrection person means being a person of hope and possibility. And as we look around this morning, we rejoice in seeing so much hope, so much possibility. We see it in Lori herself, with her energy and her leadership and her love. We see it in Bishop Dion and Deacon Rebecca. It's a new day in our diocese, and it is really exciting. And we see it in all of you. Those of you gathered in the parking lot, the faithful, beloved people of St. Francis, and the other faithful, beloved people of St. Francis joining us on YouTube this morning. I happened to be in St. Louis last week, and so I had a chance to come over here, make sure I knew where I was going to be driving on Sunday, and I drove around a little bit. And I was struck by how much all of this place reminds me of one of the most beloved church communities I had the pleasure of serving as vicar. That was back in 1995 to the year 2000, and it was in O'Fallon, Illinois, just across the river in the Metro East area, St. Michael's Episcopal Church. Now, I was there with them a little bit earlier in their life cycle than Lori is with you. In those days, we called it a new start. And most of the time I was there, we were renting space in a Lutheran congregation. But we had purchased our land. We were raising the money we needed to build a church building. We were designing that building. And we were dreaming great big dreams. And so I do understand how much work and how much vision has gone into all that has come before this day, and I commend you for that. As I said, I got to know you a little bit through your YouTube worship and through your wonderful parish newsletter, and most of all, through weekly FaceTime conversations with Lori over the last several months. And I have learned something about you, and certainly felt it this morning with your honking. You're a group of people who know how to have fun. And after all the stress and the isolation and the loss that we have all been through with this pandemic, it's a great blessing to have an occasion of joy bring us together. And joy is what we see primarily in today's gospel lesson. We see how an encounter with the risen Christ can help us move from a place of fear to a place of joy. Today's gospel lesson begins on the evening of the resurrection. The disciples are behind locked doors. They are full of fear. Now, they had heard Mary Magdalene say earlier that day, I have seen the Lord. But knowing how they, most of them, had failed Jesus in his time of greatest need, they must have wondered, is that really good news for me? But into that place of fear, the risen Christ comes, and the first words out of his mouth are, peace be with you. There is no scolding. Only words of forgiveness and love. There is no looking backwards, only looking forward. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And it occurred to me that this was their celebration of new ministry. The risen Christ was leading them into a brand new chapter, moving from seeing themselves primarily as disciples, which literally means those who are taught, and helping them understand that they were also called to be apostles, which means those who are sent forth. But of course, there was a problem. One of those apostles was not yet present. Thomas missed it all. You know, we've come to call him Doubting Thomas. I think we could just as well call him Grieving Thomas. Earlier, back in the time of Jesus' early earthly ministry, after his friend Lazarus died, Jesus had told his followers that he wanted to go to Bethany, where Lazarus had lived with his sisters. And Thomas spoke up at that time and said to the other disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." You know, the disciples could be a little slow to catch on, but I think Thomas understood earlier than many that following Jesus can be dangerous. The others probably thought that he was being a pessimist when he said, "Let us go with him so we can die along with him." Thomas may have just thought he was being a realist. Fast forward to Good Friday, and the worst seemed to have happened. Jesus had died a shameful death on the cross. And we'll never know what was in Thomas's mind, of course, but maybe he thought, "I just can't do this anymore." Maybe he stayed away on that Easter Sunday out of doubt, but also out of grief. You know, it can be so easy to pull away from others when we are hurting. And in this church family, as close and as loving as you are, there will be times when at least some of you sometimes feel disappointed or even angry or hurt or like you're not quite sure how you fit in around here. You might make mistakes in your life together. Lori will make mistakes. We're all human. As one of my chaplain friends likes to say, people are worse than anybody. But if and when that happens, please don't give in to the temptation of staying away from the fellowship you share. Remember, the risen Christ is here among us, always ready to forgive, always loving us, always ready, if need be, to point us in the right direction. Resurrection living is about hope and about possibility. Now, being human, we sometimes put our hope in the wrong things, at least a little bit. I mentioned my beloved congregation, St. Michael's. Hard for me to believe it's been over 20 years since I served there. And looking back, I can see there were a few times we got a little bit off track. There was that movie that had come out a few years earlier. Maybe you've seen it, Field of Dreams, with that famous line, "If you build it, they will come." Well, that wasn't true then, and it's not true now. Having this lovely building is very important. I understand how proud you must be. And we do need a holy space where we can gather and worship the Lord and be fed and be nurtured and learn together. But it's not enough. People will be drawn to St. Francis because of all of you, all of us, the living body of Christ in this place, and because of the ways that you put Christ's love into action. Back in O'Fallon, I think in those days in the Metro East area, we as a congregation perhaps put a little too much faith in demographics. We knew the area was growing a lot, and that was a wonderful thing. And in those days, there was something called the Mid-America Airport under construction right next to Scott Air Force Base. And we were told that it was going to bring explosive growth to O'Fallon. And we were told that that airport would one day rival Lambert International Airport. And of course, that didn't happen. And then there was a rumor that Mark McGuire, who was at that time at the height of his St. Louis Cardinals fame, had bought a house in the subdivision right next to our church property. And we were so excited. Now looking back, I can't understand how I possibly thought that had anything to do with the mission and the ministry of St. Michael's Episcopal Church. I think I just wanted to run into Mark McGuire in the grocery store. But of course that didn't happen either. It was just a rumor. But a lot did happen. By the grace of God, St. Michael's grew in many ways, not just in numbers, but in depth. I ran into a bunch of people from that congregation a couple years ago and was talking with them. And see, I had left before they were in their new building. And they were telling me about all they'd been through. And one of them said, you know, we didn't grow quite as quickly as we thought we would, but we are much, much more engaged and involved in the community than we were in those early days. And that's what it's all about, finding new creative ways to share the love of God with the people all around us. Now, before I finish, I want to say a few words of support and caution to Lori. Lori, you are called to be among us as a pastor and a priest, yes, but you are also called to be among us as a person, a beloved child of God, just like everyone here. And we all want Lori to remain the loving, healthy person that she is. We want Lori to have plenty of time to be with her family. We know that she has a very wide circle of friends all through St. Louis and all through the diocese, and we want her to nurture those relationships. And we want Lori to work at staying grounded as a runner, as a gardener, as a human being. I can tell you from personal experience, it is very easy for a new vicar to think that she has to work in overdrive, especially in the first few years of a new ministry. And I think, intentionally or not, there's a great deal of wisdom built into today's liturgy. Because Lori, who has already done so much here, really has very little to do today. She stands before you with her hands empty, her heart open, to receive the gifts that you bring to her. You've already given her a set of keys and a Bible. There are more gifts to come, not only in this service, but in all the time that you're going to share together. Christian tradition tells us that Thomas, the doubter, the griever, the realist, was changed when he saw the resurrected Christ. And that Thomas ended up taking the good news of the gospel all the way to India. There's no telling where you, the people of St. Francis, will end up having an impact. If your motors were running, I would tell you to fasten your seatbelts. Because when we give the Holy Spirit room to move, you just never know what can happen. Amen.